just want to read a few very short scriptures. The first one in a very well-known chapter in Luke 15, just one verse, and verse 13. And after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property, living in debauchery. And then in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. Hebrews 11 and verse 8. By faith Abraham, being called, obeyed to go out into the place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and went out not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned as a stranger in the land of promise, as a foreign country, having dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, of which God is the artificer and constructor. Proverbs chapter 25, Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25, that's page 814. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And then, if you'll bear with me, just that well-known passage in Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 6. Christ Jesus, who is subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it as an object of repine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, and having been found in figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. I want to speak tonight, dear friends, about the journey of life. I've read of two journeys. Well, in fact, I've read of three, but we'll leave that to a little later. But there's two journeys presented to us, and tonight you're on one of those journeys. You're going somewhere. As we said in the reading, as I think our brother Mr. Bond said in the reading, you can't stand still. And tonight, dear friend, you're headed somewhere. And the big question in the glad tidings is, where are you bound? We know the story of Luke 15 so well, don't we? A certain man, and he had two sons. It's interesting, it says, and after not many days, desperate, you know, to get out into the wide world. You know, it's interesting, I think the longer I live, the more importance you attach to every word in Scripture. Nothing is in there by chance. Every word is significant. The way the Lord tells the parable here, he says, and after not many days. You get the impression that he was determined to go, and he couldn't wait. He wanted to see the world in all its pleasure. Is that like you, dear friend? Can't wait to kick off the traces. Can't wait to see all the things that the world tempts you with. After not many days. And he says, he gathering all together, took everything. Everything that he owned, everything that he inherited, everything that he was given, took it all. You know, the world wants everything. He wants you, dear friend, tonight. The world and the God of this world, who is Satan, is bidding for you. And he wants you lock, stock and barrel. Says he gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off. A long way off. Where was it a long way off from? It was a long way off from the Father's house. Where God wants you to be. You know, the gospel comes from the throne of God. That's what God wants. He wants to have you in his presence. He wants for you to be near. That's the wonder of the Gospels presented tonight, is that you should know God. This is the eternal life, that they should know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. God wants you in his presence. He wants your company. But this was a long way off, a far country. Everyone that comes into this world is born, really starts on this journey. But the point is, in the glad tidings, you're challenged as to whether you're going to change direction. You see, he spent all that he had. I didn't read the rest of the story. We know what happened. But he wanted to get away as far as he could. He was determined to go. But it wasn't all that it was cracked up to be, was it? He found how impoverished he was. He found that he was wanting. And there's millions of souls out there tonight that have gone on a long journey, and they've come to the end of the road. And what is there? What is there? Tonight, dear friend, I'll challenge you with the same question. Where are you heading? And what do you find at the end of the road? See, I've read of two journeys. And it's interesting, I like travelling. And you know, you can nowadays, with all the advantages of technology, you can have a look and see what's available and what places are like. Places that you've never been to. You can get a picture, can't you? Quite easily. At the tap of a button, you can get a picture of what a place is like that you've never been to. Well, these two journeys here, you can get a picture of what things are like. Where do you find that picture? It's found in this wonderful book. It is a guide. It's a traveller's guide. And both journeys are, the end of the journey is described. And I have to be plain with you tonight, there's only two endings. One is heaven and the other is hell. And they're both described, dear friend, in this traveller's guide, which is God's word. So that's the first journey. The second one we read of in Hebrews. What a contrast. He obeyed God and he acted in faith. And that tonight in the glad tidings is exactly what God wants you to do. To obey him in the glad tidings. And to act in faith. Dear friend, what a destination on this journey. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew what the end was. He knew what the result would be. He knew where he was headed. He knew he was where he was bound. He didn't know the exact way, the exact journey, and neither does any believer. If I said to you 10 years ago, would you know where you are? No, we can't tell. The Lord knows, but we know the destination. We know where we are bound. And it's interesting here, Abraham, it says, he waited for the city which has foundations. That young man in Luke 15, he was going out into the world, and really there was nothing there, nothing stable. No foundations in that place. Everything was shaky. And you know, as you look around today, what the world is shaking, isn't it? Nothing is certain. Nothing is stable. You cannot trust no one or nothing. And yet God, here's a man of faith. And he trusted God and he obeyed God. And he waited for a city that has foundations. Something that's reliable and trustworthy. Something that he could stake his life on. And it was a city, you know, something permanent and which God had built himself. Dear friend, tonight, We're not offering something that's man-made. unreliable that is. Everything that attaches to man is unreliable. In contrast, what God offers you is a wonderful salvation, and it's built on the rock. It's firm and it's established on the precious blood of Jesus. He waited for a city which has foundations. What a destination that is! Heaven, salvation, eternal life, all these wonderful things which God offers you freely in the glad tidings. Dear friends, I would urge you again I'd challenge you as to which road you're on. The young man in Luke 15 thought he was having a good time until the money ran out. And when the money ran out, the friends ran out, didn't they? What an impoverished position he ended up in. What a sad place he ended up in. And yet you and I, as in our sins, you know, we are destitute, aren't we? Bankrupt. That's what the sinner is, actually. He's bankrupt. But in the glad tidings, God is in the wonderful position of being able to forgive you your sin and wipe out the debt. I love that story that the Lord Jesus told of the two, you know. One was a big sinner and one was a little sinner. I don't know which you are tonight, but that's not important. The problem is that you are a sinner and you have built up a debt, because sin makes you bankrupt and therefore you owe to God. You've defaulted. But it says, the Lord Jesus says in that parable that the judge frankly forgave them both. Both of them. And that's how God acts in his grace and his mercy. He doesn't look upon your individual deeds, he doesn't account them up, so to speak. He frankly forgave them both. What a grace of God that is. What mercy that is. Because of the precious blood of Jesus, God can say to you and to me, I fully forgive you. And not only, I think we've said this before, but not only does he pay your debt, not only does he wipe the slate clean, but he puts you in credit. What a God we have to deal with. Not only forgives you your sin, you know, but he gives you Christ's righteousness. The blessed robe, the young man in Luke 15, he understood the value of that, didn't he? Not only was his debt forgiven, not only was the slate wiped clean, but he was given much more, wasn't he? The best robe and the sandals and the ring. Oh, you know, the love of God is boundless, isn't it? The mercy of God, the grace of God, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep as the deepest sea. It's my Saviour's love. How wonderful these things are. I just challenge you again tonight, dear friends, which road are you on? The young man, he came to himself. But there's many, you know, are heading into an eternity and not knowing it, not realizing the peril that they're in. Can you stop and think for a minute? Contemplate the road that you're on. You can be on the road, on the wrong road, and yet sincere. There's a tract, isn't there? There was a tract in great earnest on the wrong road. Maybe tonight you think that you're on the right road. You say that I go to church, I go to the meeting, I read the Bible, I even keep the company of Christians, and yet you're not saved. You don't believe in your heart. You haven't obeyed the glad tidings. You don't have any faith in that blessed one who died in my place, who shed his blood to save me. You could be, you think you're doing the right things, but you're in earnest on the wrong road. It says in the scripture that there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Tonight, dear friend, you need to get right with God. Check your position. Find what road you're on. Have to do with God. And find yourself on the right road. The road that leads to life and glory and blessing and salvation. Abraham here, you know, he trusted in God. He waited for a city that had foundation, of which God was the one. He was the architect. I marvel, you know, when I think of the plan of salvation. You know, we couldn't have, no mere man could have drawn up such a wonderful plan whereby that I could come into God's presence as perfect, as holy, as forgiven. Only God could have devised such a wonderful plan. He is the artificer and constructor. So tonight, dear friends, I would ask you to check just where you are. Take a reference point tonight in your life and see where you're headed. If you're not sure, there's a guidebook. Read it, check it out, and you'll see that there is a way. There's a way that leads to life, and there's a way that leads to death. There's a broad way. The young man in Luke 15, he was on the broad way. Everyone else was going that way, so why shouldn't he? But it leads to destruction. But there is a line of faith. There's a pathway of faith, which in the glad tidings you're appealed to be on. And that leads to life and salvation. And it's once you're on that road, you know, then the destination is sure. I read that scripture in Proverbs because it's just part of, it's a lovely touch of the glad tidings. If you might feel that you're in a far country tonight, it's good news, isn't it? What is the gospel? What is the gospel? It's good news. And where does it come from? It comes from heaven. You might be in the far country. Heaven might seem a far country to you. You know, for many people in the world, heaven seems a long way off, doesn't it? Actually, God is appealing to you, and he's near. That's what Paul says in Acts 17. God is not far from any one of us. Paul says the Lord is near. Tonight, dear friend, I would ask you to check which road you're on and turn onto the right way, the path that leads to life. You know, I often think of that picture of the cross. Two thieves. There was the Lord Jesus in the middle. There was two thieves. One was blessed and one was lost. They were both equally the same distance from Jesus. Both had the same opportunity. Both could reach out to him equally. Yet one was lost, one was saved. Dear friend, tonight, make sure you're on the right pathway. Accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. I love the way that that man fully admitted his sin. We indeed justly. That's the cry of a forgiven man, isn't it? We indeed justly. This man has done nothing amiss. Dear friend, tonight, is that your position? You realise that you're a sinner? That you deserve eternal punishment? You realise that God has provided a saviour, the one who's perfect, the Lord Jesus, God's beloved Son. This man has done nothing amiss. Qualified, adequate, suitably qualified to be my Saviour because he's perfect and he offered a perfect sacrifice on Calvary's tree, and he shed his precious blood to wash away all my sin. And that precious blood, you know, is sufficient for God. When I see the blood, sometimes, you know, we can all, as even as believers, get down. We even think that we're not acceptable in God's sight. That's the devil, you know. He's a very subtle enemy. He would love to make you miserable. But you know, the precious blood of Jesus is so adequate, it's so powerful, it's sufficient, and it's sufficient for God. When I see the blood, that's all we need to do, is trust God and his view, his accounting of the blood, and we will be safe. Dear friend, what are you trusting in tonight? Are you trusting in your own sufficiency? Or are you trusting in the sacrifice of Christ? Because God is satisfied. As the hymn says, you know, God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. Is that your position tonight? I just read in Philippians chapter 4 because I've spoken about two journeys, but this was another journey that only he could take. No one else could take this journey, dear friend. He didn't have to. But he took it out of love for you and me. And because of the fact that Jesus did the will of his God and Father. I can't understand this. God himself, the creator, says, what does it say? He could claim equality with God. That's what it's saying. Did not esteem it an object of repine to be on equality with God, but emptied himself. And then we often remark, don't we, the steps downwards, which ends at the cross. What a journey that was. From glory's highest height. Been reading about heaven this afternoon, about what pertains, which we can't see at the moment. The Lord Jesus came from the highest place. Place of unutterable glory. Perfection. No sin. No death. What a place it was. And yet he came to this world of sin. Hatred. Death. Tears. No one else has made that journey. No one at all. No one could be qualified to do so. And yet he came according to God's will. And it says he was obedient unto death, and that the death of the cross. I didn't read the last bit. We know it so well. Christ, you know, he suffered for your account and mine. He paid the price for sin. God saw to it that he wasn't going to stay in the grave. Wherefore, God highly exalted him and gave him a name which is above every name. What a journey that was. It ended in the glory. You know, where is Jesus now? Not on the cross. He's not in the grave. He's in glory. A living man. Not an angel. Not a spirit. He's a glorified, blessed man, like you and I, yet sin apart. A living, glorified man in the glory. What a destination. That's where he is. And if you're a believer in him tonight, if you confess your sins, then God will forgive you and give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, the Holy Spirit is our link between me down here in this very room and Jesus in the glory. It's a fact. It's not a fairy tale. It's a wonderful fact. That I, as a believer in Jesus, have been given the Holy Spirit. And I have this wonderful living link which cannot be broken. Nothing can destroy it. It's my link with that man who's already arrived, if I may speak reverently so, He's arrived at his destination. He's there. Every believer, and I hope that includes everyone in this room tonight, is on that journey. He's going to end up at the same place. What did Jesus say in Luke, John 14? I go to prepare you a place. That's an actual place, dear friend. I'm going to prepare you a place that where I am, you may be also. That's our destination. That's where my journey is going to end. Tonight, may you be on that road which leads to glory. Do it now. If you're not sure, make sure before this gospel meeting closes that you have an assurance. It says that where I am, you may be also. May it be so for each one of us here tonight, for his name's sake. Amen.